praise the Lord. What a blessing it has already been just being in this place. I trust that your heart's already been touched and you've been blessed through the music and through honoring the veterans here today. What a blessing. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you'll find this is the chapter where David actually goes out and fights Goliath. David and Goliath is a story that most everybody, even if you're not too much of a churchgoer, you have heard and understand a little bit about David and Goliath. Well, we're going to be preaching on David and Goliath's fight, but I'm going to preach on what led up to it. And so if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading in verse 20 down to verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put their battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" I want to preach to you this morning David's cause to enlist. David's cause to enlist. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do thank you, Lord, for what we've already received in being in church today. Thank you for all those that put a lot of time and practice and effort into preparing to be used by you today, and they surely were. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would, Lord, speak through this to each and everyone that's here. Help us to receive the message that you have for us today. Empower me and use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. David's reasons were important enough to him to risk his life and fight a giant. We find in verse 20 that David was just a shepherd boy. He was not enlisted. He was not one of the soldiers. He was a shepherd boy, a servant to his older brothers. His father had instructed him to take them some food, and he went up to the battlefront to take some food just to be a servant. David respected his brothers. When he got there, he saluted them. You can tell he was excited about actually being able to come and just to encourage them in any way that he could to continue the battle, to continue the fight. It was a fight worthy of fighting. Verse 23 down to verse 25, we find here that Goliath comes out, defies the armies of God. David sees the fear in the soldiers. That's what we need to understand here. David sees their fear, and they were sore afraid. Quite possibly, David would have been somewhat disappointed. Now stop and think about this. He was a shepherd boy. He respected the soldiers, and he was going up there to encourage his brothers and the other soldiers. He wanted to see the victory that God was going to give them over the Philistines, as he knew that no doubt that they would be victorious. And he sees all of the soldiers, including his brothers, afraid. David is not focused. In verse 26, some look here and see that David's wanting to see what he can get out of it. That's not it at all. David's heart. But David is not focused on what the king offered, but David repeats their words to remind them of their God and to ask why there were no volunteers. I mean, if you know God, you ought to volunteer to go out and fight Goliath no matter what. But especially, even if the king is offering this on top of it, why are there no volunteers? Why is there no one willing to go out and to fight this worthy cause? Eliab, his eldest brother, verse 28, the one who was embarrassed the most. He was the biggest. The one who should have volunteered tries to embarrass David. Verse 28, that's what he's doing. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He's angry at him because he's brought conviction into David's heart. I mean, to Eliab's heart and life. Eliab knew he was the oldest brother. He was the biggest one there. He was the one that they should have been able to count on to enlist to go out and to fight this giant. For he was representing an almighty creator God. And then David's response, I love it. David said, what have I now done? David says, don't try to embarrass me just because you're embarrassed. Is there not a cause? Amen. David's cause. Why he enlisted. We can learn from it. First of all, verse 26, we find that, and David spake to the men, stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Trying to bring this back up to them, what they said, just repeating their words. And then he says, that taketh away the reproach from Israel. Can I remind you that what this one man is doing out here, what this one giant is doing, is reproaching Israel. He's a reproach to our God. He's a reproach to our country, our nation. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Come on, guys, don't you realize this is somebody that is uncircumcised? He's not a saved individual. He's not a child of God's. He's a Philistine. That he should defy the armies of the living God. The first cause that we find here that David is trying to reveal to them that David was worth enlisting and going out and fighting this giant was the testimony and honor of their God. He was defying the armies of the living God, those who represented God. Israel's army represented God. Israel represented God to the world. That's why if you study the Old Testament, you'll find that God reveals much about the nation of Israel because the nation of Israel was the people that God Almighty chose to represent a true and living God to the rest of the world. And the whole world would understand and would know about Israel. In the Old Testament, they would hear about, did you hear about the Hebrews, this nation of Israel that were slaves in Egypt, but somehow they were able to get out and exit Exodus and go through the wilderness. And God, their God gave them the land of Canaan. Praise the Lord for that. Their God must be the God. David understood his God to be the only true living God. And this Philistine, this Goliath, was defying their God. See, the Philistines would not have believed in God. Not one God, not the Creator God. They would not have believed in His Word. They would not have believed in His righteousness. Yeah. They were defying God. As anyone who teaches opposite the Bible is doing today. This Bible is God's holy word.
Amen.
It is truth. Every believer understands that Almighty God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay. And after He lived a life as an example for Christianity in this New Testament church age, He ascended up to heaven. While He was here, He completed the New Testament scriptures. While He was here, He gave instructions to His apostles, who then would write the remainder of the New Testament. Paul writing 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible, because God was instructing him and the Holy Spirit led him and guided him. By the end of the apostolic age, we had the completion of the very words of God. We still have them today, 2,000 years later. It's in English print today for us, an English-speaking people. And it's every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This Bible right here represents God's Word. It is God's Word. It represents Almighty God, the mind of God. Anyone who denies this Bible, anyone that teaches opposite what this Bible says, is defying the testimony and the honor of an Almighty Creator God. Yeah. We need to see it as David saw it. David believed and knew that it was worth fighting for. David was ready to take a stand against this giant. I guarantee you, it's a giant in our day and age today. It's a majority of the world today that would disagree with this Bible. They would teach opposite what it says. Yeah. Can I tell you here this morning, every veteran was willing to take a stand for truth and righteousness. When you fought and you enlisted and you fought for your country, you believed that your country had truth and it was righteous. And you were willing to sacrifice and put your life at risk for that principle, for those principles. Can I tell you that Christians believe in a living God? Because we know that there is a living God.
Amen.
Christians believe in this Bible because we know this Bible to be God's holy word.
Amen.
Christians believe that there's only one biblical plan for salvation.
Amen.
Because that's what this Bible teaches. Look with me over to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. David's calls to enlist, first of all, because of the testimony and the honor of his God. Good reason to stand for God today. In 1 John chapter 5, see, believers need to take a stand today.
Amen.
And our stand needs to be upon this word,
amen,
on what this Bible teaches. In 1 John chapter 5, concerning salvation, it says this, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made him a liar. When you teach opposite the Bible, you're calling God a liar.
Amen.
You're defying God. Because he believeth not the record that God gave his son, of his son. And this is the recording, this is the record, the recording, what God has written down, preserved for us, even in this 21st century. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Anyone that teaches opposite that is defying God. And if you know this to be true, it is worth enlisting in and standing up for this Bible. Standing up for truth and righteousness. Standing up for the testimony and the honor of an almighty God. He that hath the Son hath life. There's no other way of having everlasting eternal life outside of having Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to when you die in this life, for your spirit to go to be with the Lord in heaven. There's no other way. These things, the Bible says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. David came to this battle knowing and believing in God, knowing and believing that with God they were victorious. They could conquer any foe. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. David's cause to enlist was based on what he knew to be true. He knew God to be real. He knew God's words and God's ways to be righteous. And whoever was standing against that, he was willing to take a stand against. Say, what are we to do today, preacher? We are to do what David did, be willing to take a stand. Amen. Against whatever giant, no matter how many's on the other side, no matter how big they might look, we are here to take a stand. Amen. For righteousness' sake. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. How do we take a stand? The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You realize the enemy's not people, the enemy's the devil himself. We fight spiritual battles. Put on that whole armor of God. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You have the truth that the world needs to hear. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, live a life that God would have you to live so that your testimony and what you say is meaningful. Amen. You can't live like the world and then expect the world to listen to you, that Christianity is, there's something different about Christianity. You have to live righteously so that you might be able to gain a testimony so that people will listen to what you have to say. Praise the Lord for that. David, first of all, his cause to enlist was for the testimony and the honor of his God. Go back with me there, our text. Verse 25. Verse 25. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Satan knows what God is working through. Satan knows in the Old Testament God was working through the nation of Israel, and that's why he was set out to destroy Israel in any way that he could, hindering Israel in any way that he could. Today in this New Testament church age, it is a church. It is a church that Jesus Christ established. That's exactly what Satan is going to attack more than anything else. The testimony of Israel. We have freedom of religion today. The church is able to flourish today because of the United States of America. How God worked through this to raise this superpower of a nation, to impact the world, to allow his church to be able to serve and represent God. Yeah, I believe that. Today, too many are giving up on America's testimony. And they're giving in to Antichrist movements in every area. You say Antichrist, yes. Basically, all Antichrist is anti the very teachings of Jesus Christ. Anti the teachings on a holy lifestyle. Anti the teachings on his church. Anti the teaching on men and women. Anti teachings on marriage. Anti teaching on how to raise your children. Anti teaching on whatever Christ taught. That's Antichrist. We understand by reading and studying the Bible that the Antichrist movement will rule the earth during the tribulation period. And to show you how close we are to the tribulation time, look at how much Antichrist is already in the society of America today. Yeah. Look, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is a worthy cause. This Antichrist movement is a worthy cause. It's out to destroy our America, to defy America and what America was established to be. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, that's believers, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The signs of the last days leading up to the tribulation period and the rapture of the church is Antichrist. Antichrist around the world, but especially in what is supposed to be raised up to be a Christian nation, the United States of America. Look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Chapter 4 of 1 John. Chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 3 and 4 says this. And every spirit, that's small letter spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but the spirit of man, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have a greater power inside of you through the power of God than the world has and the power of Satan, and you can take the stand that God wants you to take, and you can testify to the goodness and the reality of God. I love this song. He's always good. He's always good. We are to testify to that. Yeah. See, America was founded on a belief in a righteous God. I've got this, and I love what we found here. It's the roots of America. The first Congress formed the American Bible Society. Immediately after creating the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress voted to purchase and import 20,000 copies of Scripture for the people of this nation. After the Declaration of Independence, they understood that this was a Christian nation and that people needed to understand Christian principles, and they purchased 20,000 King James Bibles to distribute to the people. Patrick Henry, who is called the firebrand of the American Revolution, who is still remembered for his words, "Give me liberty or give me death." But in current textbooks, the context of these words were deleted. Here is what he said in full: "An appeal to arms and the God of hosts is all that is left us. But we shall not fight our battle alone. There is a just God that presides over the destinies of nations. The battle, sir, is not of the strong alone. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Total different meaning in it. It was Patrick Henry, a Christian. The following year, in 1776, he wrote this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that reason alone, people of other faiths have been afforded freedom of worship here." Wow. David's second cause was the cause of Israel, representing God. Our cause to join the spiritual battle is America and the church that Jesus established. Amen. To represent Him. Antichrists are going to continue to get worse and worse, but it should not be on our watch. We ought to be willing to enlist to do everything we can. Amen. To stand for the testimony of America and the church. Amen. David's last calls, go back there with me. The cause for freedom. He knew what Goliath represented. Back in chapter 17, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 17, verse 8. "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel." This is Goliath. "Goliath stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Goliath represented the freedom of the nation of Israel. The cause of freedom is a cause worth enlisting for. David did not want to be enslaved by the Philistines. Can I tell you that many U.S. soldiers have given their lives for freedom? We are forever indebted to those who have given their ultimate sacrifice in battle for the cause of freedom. If we fail to preach against Satan and sin, which is a given today in so many churches, people don't want to hear about an evil spirit, demonic forces. They don't want to be convicted of sin. But if we fail to preach against Satan and we fail to preach against sin, who will? It's a giant today. It's the giants that's defying not only the existence of God, but the truth in this Bible. And the truth and righteousness that the church needs to stand for. David's cause to enlist ought to be our cause. The honor of God. The testimony not only of the United States of America, but the testimony of this church. And for spiritual freedom. Because the only one that can set us free spiritually is the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary's cross. If you've not received that, can I encourage you this morning to come to this altar, let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can receive this spiritual freedom You can overcome. You can have a greater force inside of you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved here this morning, can I get you to enlist in the battle and stand where God would have you to stand? There is a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we can be victorious if we stand where God wants us to stand. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. David's calls to enlist is a cause worth enlisting for today. Same cause. Where you at in your life? Somehow, some way, God worked in your life to bring you to this church on this Sunday morning. Can I tell you that was not an accident? That was the omniscient, sovereign hand of God at work. We know not what a day may bring, but today, right now, you have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and the gift of everlasting life. It's only in His Son. If you have Him, you have life. If you do not have Him, you don't have life. You need to come to this altar and let somebody share with you on what you have to do to have Him. And once you have Him, enlist in the battle. Live as God would have you to live. Witness as God would have you to witness. Take the stands that God wants you to take. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for meeting with us here this morning and what we received in so many ways, but especially the message. God, how we need every Christian to enlist in the battle and to be all that you want them to be as witnesses, as light in this dark world, as salt in the light of this world. I pray, God, that you would just speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to during this invitation. Allow them to come and make decisions that would change lives. For this we pray in Jesus' name.